Perhaps truth has a way first of humbling us. You know, the good news begins first with bad news. The good news that tells me I can be saved begins by telling me that I need to be saved.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
If you have your Bibles, I invite your attention with me to the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, a theme entitled The Marks of Christian Ministry. 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, and verses 1 to 12. I want to begin by saying that Christian ministry is the selfless and the sacrificial investment of our lives in cooperating with God as He seeks to achieve His goals in the lives of other people. That's what Christian ministry is all about. Christian ministry is the selfless and sacrificial investment of our lives in cooperating with God as He seeks to achieve His goals in the lives of other people. Christian service, Christian ministry is getting all excited about helping other people to be successful, and successful by God's terms. Success is conforming to God's will and God's ways and God's word. The Christian servant is the man who's all excited about helping other people to become successful by God's definitions. The great mark of spiritual maturity, according to the Bible, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, the great mark of spiritual maturity, the great mark of spiritual leadership in the New Testament church is servanthood. Jesus said, "Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief," that is first, protos is the word, "whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant," literally your slave. A man who is great among you will be a servant. A man who is chief among you will be a slave. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 20, verses 26 and 27. We have as our example in the Gospels the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many, Matthew 20 and verse 28. We have our example not only in the Gospels, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have our example in the epistles, and it would be the Apostle Paul. And we have a beautiful portrayal of that right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. We have a tremendous example of what it means to be a Christian servant personified in the character qualities of the Apostle Paul. And he unfolds for us here seven marks of Christian ministry. Seven marks of Christian ministry. And I would suggest that we ought to be committed. Every one of us ought to be committed to developing those marks of Christian ministry in our lives. Now, what are those marks? You remember we said, number one, we are to serve God courageously. That's verses 1 and 2. Even when it cost us, even when we suffered and were shamefully entreated, even then we were bold to speak unto you the gospel of God. We are to serve God courageously. Number two, we're to serve God sincerely, verses 3 and 4. Our exhortation, our ministry of proclaiming the truth was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. It was sincere. We must serve God sincerely. And then thirdly, we must serve God transparently. And that's verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words or a cloak of covetousness. And then we must serve God humbly. We don't seek glory. Verse 6. And then we must serve God gently. We were gentle among you. Verse 7. And then we must serve God sacrificially. We were willing to have laid down our very lives for you and to have labored and travailed for your well-being. Verses 8 and 9. And then we must serve God exemplarily. We must be an example of character and conduct in our Christian service. And that's verses 10, 11, and 12. And Paul was an example in his walk, verse 10. He was an example in his words, verse 11, and he was an example in his wishes for their well-being. His wish or his goal was exemplary. He wanted them to walk worthy of God. So those are the seven marks. Now I want to analyze them as quickly as I can. Those are the seven marks of true Christian ministry, and every one of us should be burdened to integrate or build into our lives these marks of ministry. First, Paul says, we serve God transparently. Do you notice verse 5? He says, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, as God knows. God is witness. Paul says there are two witnesses to our transparency. There are no cover-ups. That's what I mean by transparently. There were no cover-ups. His character was translucent. There were no smudges, no blotches, no mars on his character. There was a translucent character which let out the light of God's glory and God's radiance. He served God transparently. There were no cover-ups. And he says there's a twofold witness to that. One, there's a human witness. You know that we did not use flattery. And God knows, that's a heavenly witness. There's a human witness and a heavenly witness to his transparency. God knows that we did not use a pretext or a cover-up. We did not come with a cloak of covetousness. First, he says there was a human witness. We did not come with flattering words. As you know. Flattery always describes, it's a special word, kalakeia is the word. It's a word that always describes the fair words of the smooth-tongued orator, which is used as a means of gaining influence over other people for selfish advantage. That's the meaning of the word flattery. Always has a tinge of selfishness attached to it and gaining unjustified advantage over other people. Then, in the first century, as now, there were always those who were attempting to cash in on their Christianity. That was true of the itinerant heathen preachers of the first century, and I think to a certain extent it's true of certain modern preachers, even in the media on occasion, and behind pulpits. In our day and age, there are a lot of prophecy peddlers in our day and age. They want to cash in on their Christianity. They send out little papers, and on every page is a 666. And they know that attracts attention and brings in revenue. And there are certain prophecy peddlers. There are certain music merchants in our day and age. They take sacred lyrics, put them to a secular or even a sensual model or mold or form. They call it Christian rock, and they have one goal in mind, and that is they want to commercialize the ministry. They want to convert ministry into money. That was true in Paul's day. It's true in our day. They wanted to cash in on their Christianity. It was often the persuasiveness and the flattery of their speech that enabled them to succeed. Paul says, now you know that we never had those ulterior motives. We never did that. We consistently spoke the truth. And there's one precious commodity, one precious characteristic about the truth, and that is it's generally not very flattering. The truth has a way not of building egos, but of shattering them. God's truth has a way first of humbling us. You know, the good news begins first with bad news. The good news that tells me I can be saved begins by telling me that I need to be saved. The good news about a Savior is the good news that He will deliver sinners. And so the Bible is very open and very pointed and very concrete in its characterization of us as sinners. Before it builds our ego, it shatters our ego. First, Scripture humbles us by exposing our great needs as sinners. Then it exalts us or lifts us up by prescribing a great solution, Jesus Christ, who is the Savior. Paul says that's the kind of ministry we had. We didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. We told you what you needed to hear. We didn't come flattering you. We leveled with you when we came and ministered in your community, in your city. I wonder how many of us are telling people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. For sometimes selfish advantage, we do this. Paul says, we never had that kind of a ministry. There is a transparency to my character and to my conduct and to my communication of the Word of God. There's a human witness. You know that. No flattery. Also, there was a heavenly witness. God knew it. God is witness. We did not come with a cloak of covetousness. Paul's word cloak there means, literally, the Greek word means the giving of a reason which is plausible in itself, but which is not the real reason. The giving of a reason which is plausible in itself, but which is not the real reason. It's only a pretext. It's a cover-up. Paul says, we came with no cover-ups. Especially there was no cover-up of covetousness. You know, God has to be the witness to covetousness. Flattery's up on the surface. The Thessalonians could testify to that. They didn't flatter us. They told us the truth. Instead of building our egos, they shattered our egos. They showed us that we were sinners, but then they showed us the way out through the Lord Jesus Christ. Flattery's up on the surface. People can see that, but covetousness is lurking in the heart. Only God can see that. And so he says, God is witness. Covetousness was not lurking in our heart. You know what covetousness is? Anexia is the Greek word. Covetousness is the accursed love of having more. It's literally what it means, to have more. The accursed love of having more. It's ruthless, rapacious, ravenous, given to seizing or grasping. That's the meaning of the word. It can be avarice, grasping at money and goods regardless of honor and honesty. It can be ambition, trampling on others to gain a position or prestige that doesn't belong to us. It can be immorality, the unbridled lust which takes its pleasure where it has no right to take it. That's covetousness. It can be any of those things. Avarice, ambition, immorality. Paul says, we never had those ugly ulterior motives, and God is witness. You know that we didn't flatter, and God knows that we didn't have covetous motives. In other words, Paul is saying, number one, we were not slick. That's what a man who engages in flattery is. He's slick. He's tricky. Paul says, we were not slick, and he says, we were not selfish. We did not flatter, and we were not covetous. And both humanity and heaven, both God and man, would confirm that. I wonder how many of us would be able to say before God, you know, there's such a transparency that's characteristic of my Christian experience that I feel quite comfortable in appealing to both God and man to confirm it. There's such a transparency in my character. I'm always up front, no cover-ups, nothing to hide, not holding anything back, and I'm willing to call God and man to testify to that fact. That's a reflection of the depth of Paul's relationship to God. And the very depth of Paul's relationship to God might be a rebuke to the shallowness of some of ours.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Paul did not remain aloof from God's people. He did not accept the conventional distinction between clergy and laity.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.